All right, Proverbs 20, episode 264 of Proverbs Every Day. This is a live broadcast, so you're going to hear some music and then we'll get started. Let's get down to it. Here's a special song inspired by Proverbs 20, just for you. Well, you and anybody else watching. You know how it works.
A mocker strong drinks a brawler. Whosoever's misled ain't wise. Sluggards won't plow in season. They'll beg at harvest with empty eyes. Counsel in the heart's deep waters, but wise ones draw it out. Many claim unfair. Of the spirit within, different measures, different weights, false balancing under his skin. Deceit hides in polished tones, night swallows unkept toes, steps ordered by the divine, folly binds till the end of time. Righteous walk a blameless path, legacy cries out strong. Mercy and truth to keep the throne, lies and greed to do us wrong. Keep to the Proverbs every day, a chapter each calendar day. Every day, a chapter each calendar day, Proverbs every day. Deceit hides in polished tones, night swallows unkept. Steps ordered by the divine, folly binds till the end of time.
right. Welcome to Proverbs Every Day. My name is DJ, the Deej, if you like. And great to have you back with me once again. Great to be back once again. thank you for those of you that are actually following along live here. we had a little bit of a mistake there. I didn't even think about it. I just used the online scheduler and made the schedule and didn't think that the time zone had changed because I was in the wrong place. So for those of you that are actually with me live, congratulations, you figured it out. And it was 8:30 Central, not 8:30 Eastern time. For everyone else, glad to have you with me on the magic replay. Yeah, awesome stuff. All right, well, I tell you what, we will get into Proverbs 20 today in the complete Jewish Bible. But before that, let's have a moment of prayer and reflection, and then we'll quiet our hearts and then get into God's Word today. Father God, thank you so much for another day for safe travels. I give you praise and honor for all that you've been doing in transforming the lives of myself and specifically about 3,000 others this weekend, or I should say this week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It's been awesome. I give you thanks for all those that served at the John Maxwell event and then were able to be blessed as well. So, Father, I give you thanks for that and wish them all safe travels and that you would send your angels to protect all the rest of them that are traveling back today. And, Father, we do recognize that we do need your wisdom, your leadership in our lives, and we recognize that as paramount. And today we ask that you would calm our hearts and our minds, that we would hear what you have for us today. We pray all this in your son, Jesus' name. Amen. What time is it?
It's time for Proverbs Every Day. Words of wisdom show you the way. Every month a whole new look, different version of the book, reading the whole chapter.
All right. It's campy and I love it. Proverbs 20 today in the complete Jewish Bible. Wine is a mocker, strong liquor a rowdy. Anyone led astray by it is unwise. All right, so we're starting off right away, aren't we? Yet again. Mic drop at the very first. The dread of a king is like when a lion roars. He who makes him angry commits a life-threatening sin. That is an interesting one to try and interpret in a modern way. But, yeah. I guess, well, and I should say, let me back this up a second. In a modern American way, my perspectives, oops, I did the wrong button there. At the event this weekend that I'm going to be talking about after we're done here, there was someone who, at the very beginning, they were asking why people were there and what motivated them to fly in and do all the things. And someone from, and I'm blanking on exactly where in Africa they had come from, but their stated mission was that people think leaders are there to exploit them and take from them. because of the way the leaders are in that country. And so he's there to counter that, which I thought was really awesome. But in those circumstances, this is the kind of thing that, you know, it's just a caution to have. It's just like, you know, we're very comfortable with our words here, but in other places of the world, we should be very much aware that that is not true. So, yeah. It's probably meant differently in this case, but it's something to keep in mind as a perspective, is that it's easy to pass over things like this, but in other places, making someone else angry with political rhetoric could actually get you killed and not just canceled. Yeah. Not sure which would fear more, to be honest with you, but yeah. Verse 3, avoiding quarrels brings a person honor, for any fool can explode in anger, and usually does. Avoiding quarrels. And I started out my day, but just some news events that I'm seeing people be pretty inconsistent about their anger, exposing their biases. And I very much want to call them out so badly. Maybe you stay tuned to the very end. Maybe I'll be willing to tell you what it was. But right now, we're going to keep to the whole avoiding the quarrel, bringing a person honor. So it's better for me to just let it go and maybe have a private conversation. But publicly, yeah, I'm not going to call this person out, people out, even though they did some harm to me in the process of the last time. I'm not going to reciprocate, even though I really, 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 really want to. But that's right. Verse 4. Hey, it turns out I'm a human being. It turns out, just in case there was any ambiguity there. Verse 4, and I love this one. A lazy person won't plow in winter, so at harvest time, when he looks, there's nothing. And I'm hoping that some folks tuning in today were actually with me this weekend at the or I keep saying weekend because this feels like a Monday to me. It's Thursday, I swear. But for the event this week, I actually talked a little bit about something like this, about my upbringing. And one of these days I'll actually record it down onto YouTube and get that inspirational message out for everybody. But this is something where it's very, and not just growing up the way I did with, you know, spending my teenage years with no utilities and having to be prepared in advance. It's very important, but also going to school in Nebraska and seeing firsthand the importance of farmers. Like, it's, you do it when it's time and there is a window and you've got to get it right. And so you've got to be ready to go. You don't know exactly when that window is, but it's going to be there. And so you got to be ready for it. So that's something where that was all made very clear to me. And it's very important for us to know that we need to be prepared. In fact, literally this morning, I was kind of rising and allowing Thor to declare me as awake and not asleep, I was actually thinking about this. The Bible talks about preparedness all the time. You know, I'm just going to go full screen for this. We're going to preach at you for just a second here. The Bible, what we like to think of Proverbs would be something like, my son, listen to my words. I'll be praying for you. Thoughts and prayers. Song of Solomon, chapter 1. That's what we like to think that this is, that it's just something where we are not concerned about rising to the occasion We think that God will make us rise to the occasion or cause us to rise to the occasion. No, that's not what this is. That's laziness. If you're always waiting for God to rescue you, that's laziness. In fact, I would say that that's actually beyond laziness. That's something different. That's like a usury kind of a thing. That's like a, you're operating in a consumption model at that point. You know, if you are declaring yourself so pathetic that God always needs to rescue you, that's not what God wants of you. That's just not. He wants you to be humble, but he doesn't want you to be so reflecting of a, think of a mirror. You know, if you were looking in a mirror, what do you see? Well, what does God see when he looks in that mirror? You know, and if God is in you, if you're a person that has accepted Christ and Christ is living in you, and you are always saying things like, well, we hope, and oh, well, we're praying for that. And verse four is for you. Oops. If I can do it right. There we go. A lazy person won't plow in winter, so at harvest time when he looks, there's nothing. In other words, if you're always waiting for God to rescue you, you're not going to rise to the occasion. You're going to survive that. You're going to survive the occasion. You're not going to learn from it. You're not going to get anywhere. You need to get up. You need to go. You need to be the person that God has created you to be. You need to reflect God in what you're doing. And that means if you are sitting there waiting for God to rescue you, you have it completely and utterly wrong. All right. I correct because I love. I'm seeing so much of it in the church today, and it's driving me absolutely crazy. You know, we just need to raise our hands and wait for God. And God's way up front saying, are you coming? Are you coming, dude? It's already harvest time. Hello? What are you doing back there with your hands up in the air, with your eyes closed, waiting for me when I'm still up here? Get up here. Verse five. The heart's real intentions are like deep water, but a person with discernment draws them out. Deep water being hidden down. I feel like telling a story with every single verse, and this is the John Maxwell influence. I'm telling you right now. This could get really long and really frustrating for some, but I hope you're with me this morning. Yeah, I have so much I could say about that too. Verse 6, most people announce that they show kindness, but who can find someone faithful enough to do it? Ooh. I was not mentally, I wasn't actually mentally prepared for Proverbs 20 here. I could literally do a sermon on every single one of these. Oh my goodness. Yeah, the state of our world, and nothing new is under the sun. We just find new ways to express it. Verse 7, the righteous live a life of integrity. Happy are their children after them. Yeah. Sorry. Okay. We're going to get through this, honestly. I'm sorry. I'll try and get through telling you more about this. And more about what I'm coming back from, and try and get through it without needing a tissue or five. And this has something to do with it. Verse 8, the king seated on his judgment throne can winnow out all the evil with his glance. On his judgment throne... That's a very interesting distinction. So it's not just a throne, judgment throne. It's almost like declaring an intentionality with what he's doing that day. You know, I don't think that was literally a thing, but it would be interesting to know if there was a separate throne for doing judgment. Be very interesting. But keep in mind too that this was a there were judges that were kind of the deciders among the Jewish people, and then they were like, "We want a king. We don't like this anymore." And so God's like, "Well, all right, you can have a king. You're not going to be happy about it, but here's a king." And so the king took over that role. And so that's I think, feel free to correct me if I'm wrong. I very much could be, but I think that's what this is getting to, is that the king is not just administrative or the boss. There's also a notion of, you know, applying wisdom, applying judgment, that sort of thing is very important. And we see that in some of the stories about Solomon, right? We see, I mean, probably the one that comes to most of our minds is the whole, like, two women can't agree on who owns the, or who has the son. So he's like, well, cut it in half. That sort of thing. It is like, there's stories about that. So I think that's more of like advisement to a future king. This is kind of Solomon saying to his sons and their sons in the future that the king needs to be in that orientation and winnow out all the evil, you know, with his glance. In other words, what he's actually seeing needs to be discerning, which is actually right here. Pretty cool, huh? Supposed to say yes. Verse 9, who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am cleansed from my sin? One guy. You can do that through one guy. Verse 10, false weights and false measures, Adonai detests them both. We've talked about this before, how the world was created with wisdom in mind, and so fairness, gravity has a constant nature to it. When you drop something from a height, it'll reach what's called terminal velocity. It doesn't get any faster than that. It doesn't continue accelerating because gravity is a constant as far as that force goes. And that's so even at a height, that still applies. And so when it comes to false weights and measures, it's somebody declaring a amount of force that's being applied that isn't true. And so, of course, God would detest that because he created the system. The character of even a child is known by how he acts. By whether his deeds are pure and right. So even a child knows. And so this is a message to adults, by the way. This is not a message to children. This is a message to adults to say, you know what, even a kid knows when he's done something wrong. It's he knows. I could do it on every single verse. I really could. The hearing ear and the seeing eye. Adonai made them both. So use them. If you love sleep, you'll become poor. If you keep your eyes open, you'll have plenty of food. Really bad stuff, says the buyer to the seller. Then he goes off and brags about his bargain. If you think there aren't words to entrepreneurs in the Bible, then think again. A person may have gold and wealth of pearls, but lips informed by knowledge are a precious jewel. You can have those things, it's great, but if you don't have knowledge, if you don't have wisdom, what do you got really? Seize his clothes, because he guaranteed a stranger's loan. Take them as security for that unknown woman. So, yeah, the translations don't always do it well, do it justice, I guess, or no, that's not the right way to say that. Don't always get the nuances. That's what I'm trying to say. But there's a lot here that is kind of contextual with some of the other verses where we see that what this is talking about specifically is if a young man has been fooled into helping out a foreign woman or an unknown person in the community, that sort of thing, or outside the community. This is saying, no, he needs to be held accountable to it. You know, just because it was somebody outside the community doesn't make it okay to guarantee a stranger's loan. I could say some other things about that in our modern world, but this is specifically something about that. But I think it's an not an allegory. What's synonym? Whatever. It's similar to a notion of we should be cautious about what we say we're going to guarantee and what we're not. I also kind of call this one of the verses that are very much like, hey, that whole Federal Reserve thing here in the U.S.? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Verse 17. Food obtained by fraud may taste good, but later the mouth is full of gravel. Verse 18. After consultation, plans succeed. So take wise advice when waging war. A gossip goes around revealing secrets. So don't get involved with a talkative person or a gossip. This is another way I think that could be translated, I think. I'm going to highlight this with a quick note. It was talked about a lot on, I think it was Tuesday, where I was. Yeah, I think so. But anyway, the concept of, you know, this is not easy, this world, nor is it meant to be. And if you're going at it alone, then what results do you expect to get? And the funny thing is this says waging war, but you're in a war whether you like it or not. You know, the battle's coming whether you like it or not. That's the thing. So you can either, like I was saying earlier, just put your hands up and hope for the best and hope God rescues you. Or you can take what he's telling you and say, go to the people that are around you. Go to the people that you have in your life. After consultations, plans succeed. So take wise advice. Don't, you know, allow me to speak through them for crying out loud. I can see God saying that. don't go alone. That it's just, you're not going to be like held up as some conquering hero or anything like that. It's not going to be like that. But you're also going to just be kind of seen as a fool if you're just always just alone with these things and never go ask for help or ask for advice. Yeah. It's okay. In fact, it's encouraged. Yeah, Satan likes to tell you that you shouldn't go get help. Satan loves that one. God doesn't. A gossip goes around revealing secrets, so don't get involved with the talking person. Oh, we said that already. Verse 20, whoever curses his father or mother, his lamp will go out in total darkness. Verse 21, possessions acquired quickly at first will not be blessed in the end. Don't say, I will pay back evil for evil. Wait for Adonai to save you. Yeah, this is definitely one of those. That's a different scenario, isn't it? Than to survive suffering or be in battle and things like that. This is a, you know, after the fact kind of a thing. If God rescued you, especially. Yeah. And this is probably a message to me today. From what I was saying about, you know, wanting to see from all those people on social media that were, you know, taken to the streets about X person doing X thing. And I just simply asked the question, is that accurate? And now there's stories coming out that are like literal what they are accusing this person of. And I really want to go back to them and say, hey, I haven't seen anything from you on this. And my motivations are not pure. My motivations are not for their betterment. I can try and dress it up like that, but that's not my motivations. My motivation is trying to pay back evil for evil. And no, I need to let it go. I need to just give that to God and say, God, can you please point that out to them? Please. Because, verse 23, here we go. Adonai detests double standard and weights. False scales are not good. There we go. Double standards. A man's steps are ordered by Adonai. So how can a person understand his own ways? I love that. I was at a leadership conference this week, and this verse, and other Proverbs too, by the way, but this one came up. John Maxwell brought this one up, and it was really just awesome. Actually, I take that back. I think it was a different verse now that I'm thinking about it. I believe it was actually, I have it written down. Yeah, look at me, so organized. So organized that I'm thinking I had it written down, and I probably do. But anyway, I promise it to come up. Verse 25, I'll get you through this, I promise. It is a snare to dedicate a gift to God rashly and reflect on the vows only afterwards. God, if you do this, I'll do this. If you only get me through this, I'll get through this. I'll do this. Yeah, that. A wise king winnows the wicked from the righteous with his eyes, as we saw previously, and threshes them under the cartwheel. So if the king has been appointed to that, they're doing that, not you. The human spirit is a lamp of Adonai. It searches one's inmost being. I like that. Grace and truth preserve a king. With grace, he upholds his throne. Yeah. The pride of the young is their strength. The dignity of the old is gray hair. Yeah. Blows that wound purge away evil. Yes, beatings cleanse one's inmost being. Wasn't that the end of, was it 19 or 18? Now I'm scrolling. Yep. So we ended two Proverbs the same way. Yep. There's a little bit different here, though. The blows that wound purge away evil. That's actually a bit different thing than a rod for the back of a fool. So that is interesting to note. That's a harsh thing. The whole cleanse. I know there's a whole like religious sect that is pretty much based on this verse. the Gnostics were, yeah. I've kept you for like a half hour. I shouldn't really go further into that. But like I said, I'm feeling pretty pumped up in general. And it's easy to go on and on about, like I said, I could literally talk about any of these. And I kind of, I've already, yeah, talked about the whole thing, but, yeah. Yeah. So let me change things up a little bit and let me dive into a little bit of things that are going on. So obviously, like I mentioned yesterday, that the certification process is complete and I've done my due diligence and I have literal pages of notes. In fact, I have an entire notepad literally filled up. Like every single page has notes on it. And this was just the first and the last day. And then I have pages and pages of notes, you know, both sides in this notebook, just pages and pages and pages. So yeah, there's a lot to process today. And so I'll actually ask for your prayers on that, that I can take all of this into actionable next steps, obviously, but also to be the one that says, okay, here's what we're doing and why. And so what I've come to the conclusion of is there's some talents that the God has given me that I've been poking at a little bit, but not really leaning fully into. And I've identified some things that I'm kind of playing it safe. And that includes some of the, it sounds weird to say that me offering coaching is playing it safe, but it kind of has been. Yeah, honestly, it's one of those things where it's like I've been needing a call to challenge myself a little bit. And so there's a couple of things that I want to do a lot more of. One is doing more of what we can call public speaking. I would actually say probably what I want to do more of is private speaking, where I'm actually in organizations, in groups, and doing more and more of that, just kind of starting off small and getting a wider range of those kind of things, mostly because there are conversations that are happening there that I think are more powerful. And so getting to know people better and getting into how I can serve more effectively and that sort of thing. So that's one thing. Also with what we do here, there's some more I can do with this. I can feel that. And so, carving out a good chunk of my week and doing more and more content on YouTube is going to become a major part of what I'm doing. So being out there with messages more and being more bold and being more, hopefully, more well-spoken in the process, that sort of thing, is part of this. But also just leaning into a lot more of not necessarily my content, but my take on content. And so there's a lot of things with that I'm licensed to do with John Maxwell's team now that it actually kind of blows me away how much they say, oh yeah, this is yours now. You do this. In fact, there was a moment and I apologize for almost breaking out. There's a, sorry, I'm actually scrolling on the off screen here to verse 7. The righteous live a life of integrity, and happy are the children after them. So yesterday, especially, John Maxwell is 78 years old, and what I saw in him yesterday was an awareness of, you know, that the day is coming at some point, and he doesn't know when it is, and so he's literally saying to the audience, you know, when I die, you know, I want you guys to be celebrating and that sort of thing. And he was talking Tuesday night about how he really feels he has a good 14 or so books left in him and all these things that are just great to see somebody that's 78 years old. And he's like, not even close to slowing down, not even close. He just has this, you could see it in his eyes. There's like a burden to do more. But in terms of the legacy there, that's what really blew me away. I mean, I'd kind of heard a little bit about it and heard him even saying some things, but the full gravity of it didn't really hit me until Tuesday night. Is that when John said, I'm giving you my name, you know, take what I've done and go out there with it, you know, use it, you know, use my name. Sorry, I knew it. I knew I was going to struggle with this. That's what Jesus wants of us. That's what God designed us for. We're not here to just always give our opinion. The world loves that. I am very much like John. I love giving little stories and anecdotes to help. But I want you to know that, you know, I might have opinions, but ultimately it's truth that's important here. And so we have been given the I don't want to say burden, the mission, the commission, I should say, to use the name of Jesus rightly. You know, I just as I wouldn't dream of, you know, declaring something and then just saying, well, I'm John Maxwell certified, so obviously my opinion is correct. You know, I wouldn't dream of that. I'm sure there's some out there that do. In fact, I found one recently and I was shocked. It's like, wow, way to not get it. Way to just be so self-serving that you just didn't hear anything he said. Awesome. but we have that mission in our lives. And it doesn't take being up on a stage. It doesn't take being a person that's being asked their opinion about X or whatever. All it takes is loving someone as Christ loved them. All it takes is being a person that is living a life of integrity. That's something we can pass on. That's a legacy we can pass on because that's what Christ wanted for us. So there's a lot of things that I'm really fired up to do. I learned about a charity that John has that's reaching out into school systems and teaching leadership principles, character, teaching character in schools. And so far, at least 1 million students have been impacted by this and taught in the school these materials. So I felt a nudge to want to participate in that. And there's a selfish component to this. I'm not going to lie to you. If I can put together a certain amount of dollars, then I'll be able to go meet with John on my 50th birthday. Is that a motivation? Yeah, that's a motivation. It's something that's driving me a little bit. I'm like, ooh, okay. So I'm going to be looking for some ways to do that using some of the materials that John has. And so there's some great opportunities that I'm looking forward to telling you about. I'll be putting those together in the coming weeks, including ways to be learning about some of his books on communication, some about leadership, and especially one that's called The High Road Leader. And so there'll be some of those where you'll be able to engage with me in a what's called a mastermind group and things like that. So I'm putting those together. I'll be informing everyone of that. Obviously, this is one of many channels that'll be informed of that, but I'm looking forward to it, about what we can do together and how to make this happen. So there's that. pardon me. Lots of speaking and shouting and hollering and all that kind of stuff is apparently taking its toll. And I've got that inarticulate bassy voice going on, but, yeah, nonetheless, wanted to tell you about two things. I mentioned this last night, the High Road Leader, and that's why I want to kind of figure out a study. I have some questions I need to ask of my mentors about, you know, how I can integrate this without violating any of the rules that I have. But I am authorized to do a study on the High Road Leader. So I'm trying to figure out how I can integrate this. I'll keep you informed. But I also got an additional 5 copies of this that my hope is to do a giveaway very soon. So stay tuned for that. I think it was going to be fun. But this dropped 2 days ago, The Charismatic Leader. I'm going to try and remember to create a link for this. I didn't do this right before the broadcast. I'm going to create a link to Amazon so you can get this. Because John spoke a little bit about it, and I haven't actually read it yet. I'm looking forward to it, but, you know, it's... Yeah, I think this is actually going to be a good thing for... There's a lot of things like this. The High Road Leader, this, some of the things that John's working on that are very much focused around our current world and the current challenges that we have in what I'm calling a leadership crisis. Not just... When I say leadership crisis, I'm not just talking about at the top. Actually, what I'm talking about is more at the middle. I think there's more damage being done at the middle than there is at the top. The top is a lost cause to me. When I talk about like the leadership of the United States and other nations, I'm sorry. I see it as a lost cause. The best possible action right now is to take all of our energy that we're taking in complaining about that and putting it towards getting the next generation ready to lead. Getting the next generation to lead. And that means building up people that are leading smaller teams that are not like up there in the ranks, I guess you could say, of leaderships, but building up people that are in those middle levels. I am fired up about it, if you can't tell. And so that's really what I want to encourage you, is that you have that ability where you're at. You can be a better communicator. You can be a better leader, whatever you're called to be. Because I think we're all called to certain areas. Communication actually is one of those that I think is absolutely key, especially for every single Christian. I think every single Christian needs to learn how to be a better communicator. and to actually connect with people truly. If you don't do that, I don't think you're living what I call that 11 talents lifestyle. I think you are missing out on some of the things that the God wants of you. So whatever that looks like to you, I'm not saying you need to be up on a stage or whatever. I'm saying that one-on-one communicating with people, that needs to be developed. So that's why I'm fired up about that. Look for more of that in the future. I do still, by the way, I'm putting together kind of logistics of this, but in addition to Proverbs Every Day, my intention is to have a probably twice a week study in the month of April, going through the book of Acts. So I think Acts in April has a nice little ring to it. So we're going to do it. I've been wanting to integrate some additional Bible studies into this, and again, make them unboring, I'm sure. But and there's actually, by the way, if you have any suggestions about a name for this channel, I like the unboring thing, but it's not really fitting what I'm after yet. So I want to tweak that again, and I'd love your feedback. I've been thinking about just kind of leaning into the whole when I started the Facebook channel or Facebook page, I think almost 10 years ago or whatever it was, I called it Deejvotions, just because people call me the Deej. Instead of DJ, they'll often say, "Hey, Deej." It just happens, right? It's a natural thing. So I leaned into it back then and just called it Deejvotions. It didn't really take off, but this has been something I'm committing to. So I'm actually kind of considering calling this Daily Deejvotions. It just seems awfully self-serving, and I'm not sure if I like that or not. But feel free to get me your feedback in the comments. As always, if you had a favorite verse today, I'd love to hear what it was. Put that up in the chat. But I've taken up enough of your time for one day. So I'm going to let you go and let you know that I love you. I'm DJ and I'm your friend. As John would always say, I'm John and I'm your friend. Be blessed by the best. And then go be a blessing to all the rest. Love you all. And we'll see you, not live, but we'll see you tomorrow.